We're going to turn to God's word now. We are looking at Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 23. And this is the second to last in our series in Romans, just one more week to go. So do open that up in front of you if you've got a Bible or phone, and we're going to look at that together. Starting at verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as does Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. And Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Let me pray before we dive in. Father, we thank you that we can be together as your people, that we have your word to speak into our lives. And Lord, we pray now, in these few minutes, would you send your spirit and make our hearts open to what you have to say to each of us. We thank you for your grace and for your love for us right now. Amen. Caitlin and I have begun a very exciting and yet slightly serious new stage in our parenting of Evelyn. We have started introducing solid food. This isn't Evelyn, by the way, it was going out on YouTube, so I thought I'd just put up a stock photo. But we have introduced solid foods, and it is super exciting seeing her reactions to new flavors and textures. She kind of bobs her head like a hungry hippo when she sees the spoon coming towards her, which is just lovely. Needless to say, it's a very messy new venture that we're undertaking. Pureed food just everywhere, all over the table, over the head, over the mouth. But such fun to see her enjoying and exploring all of these new things. It's been brilliant. But we are also aware that these are important steps for Evelyn to take. Getting good eating habits is going to be key as she grows up healthy and strong. Learning the difference between what is dangerous and what is okay is going to be really important. You know, the small plastic object that Daddy has accidentally left lying around, no, no, no. Mushy bowl of orange goo filled with vitamins, yes, yes, yes. Learning those key distinctions. And as well as being able to identify what is dangerous and what is safe, she will need to be able to choose those things that are going to nourish her and keep her healthy for years to come. And I wonder if Paul, as he wraps up his letter to the Romans, feels a similar desire for this church in Rome. He wants them to go on and grow up in maturity in their faith. I mean, he's written a letter to them. He's never been to them, but yet he cares for them. And so he's taken this whole letter to carefully instruct them in the central matters of the gospel. Now, as you read the closing part of this letter, it can feel a bit disjointed as he seemingly kind of finishes and then adds an extra bit on. So last week, Charlie was helpfully taking us through some of the greetings that Paul was sending from himself. And now in our passage, he's suddenly warning them about avoiding dangerous teachers. And then he moves back into sending greetings from some of his friends. It's a little bit odd, a little bit clunky, I think. But yet, in between those two chunks, we get this line: the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. This is Paul's heart for all believers. He often uses this as he opens and closes lots of his other letters in the New Testament. And it's also with this same heart of grace that he has given these words, which we now read to us and to the church in Rome. Paul wants all Christians, all of us, to be growing strong in grace, knowing the life-giving grace of Jesus, and then to go on living that out in lives of grace. So all of us, like Evelyn, need to be trained up in nourishing ourselves. Now, she's right at the beginning of that journey, kind of getting it everywhere. But for all of us, whatever our age, whatever our maturity of faith, we will benefit from hearing Paul's words and evaluating what harms us and what nourishes us. Paul's heart is that they grow up healthy in God's grace. So let's begin by looking at the warning that he begins with. And I've entitled this as the first heading, Have Discerning Tastes. Tell the healthy from the harmful. Verses 17 to 20. Have discerning tastes. Recently, somebody shared with Caitlin and me the story from China back in 2008, where baby food was being sold with the appearance of having all the right health benefits, but which had in fact been bulked out with chemicals and ended up hospitalizing over 50,000 infants with some fatalities. Now, that's dreadful to think about, you know, someone greedily taking advantage of such a situation of such vulnerable little people. And if we're honest, it's not something that we like to think about. But because we live in a broken world, we have to be alert to those who would allow harm to others for the sake of their own gain. And Paul, he is aware that there are people circling the church in Rome with their own agendas, who want to mislead the faith of these Christians for their own benefit. And so he calls on the believers in Rome, and he calls on us to be aware of these people, to pay attention to the content that they are listening to the teaching that they're receiving. It's a warning that is really relevant for us today. And Paul, he's super serious about this. Look at verse 17. See, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. He means business. Why? Why is Paul so serious here? What is Paul worried about? Well, you see there, don't you? He's worried about divisions and obstacles to their faith. Paul's concern is that there is deceptive teaching coming in, which rather than building you up to maturity, will instead stunt the growth of your faith, and may even undo it, harm it, disrupt it. And as well as that, causing divisions, harming our relationships with other Christians, which is where a lot of our growth happens, doesn't it? So he is really aware of the divisions and obstacles and the risks that are there. So if these risks are there for you and me today, we need to be alert to what the signs might be. What might the signs be for us to spot false teaching? Well, personally, I like to think that I would notice, if I'm being honest. I like to think that I'd be able to, you know, spot it if somebody's coming at me with a bit of false teaching. He describes the people here who are caught up in it as being naive. Raise your hand if you like being referred to as being naive. No one, right? We don't like to think that we are naive. But I think we can be tempted because we like convenience. We like it when somebody comes along and packages something as 5 easy steps to Christian living, or 3 quick things to know God's plan for your life. We like not to have to ask questions, just to kind of easy, minimal input, passively receiving and consuming information. That's me. I know that's me. I can be tempted to do that. Maybe that's you as well. Now, I'm very aware of the irony now of me wanting to give you some helpful tips, simple helpful tips about spotting signs. So be attentive. Listen to me. Check what I'm saying as well. Compare it to what we're reading. I'm not exempt from this. So we've got the risks. What are the signs? First of all, we've got smooth talk. Smooth talk. And Paul is talking about the things that these deceptive people will use to build themselves up in your estimations. They want to build themselves up in your estimations. Now, it doesn't just have to be, you know, charming and persuasive language. We can be tempted to be more convinced by people because of what they wear. Visual effects that are used in videos. The popularity of the speaker within your tribe. Somebody else who you really respect, who endorses them. The entertainment value of the YouTube videos or the teaching that they're putting out. The quality of the worship band. It might just be that they have a reputation for being sound. Now, just because a person might have, or a ministry might have, some of those things, some of those qualities, that doesn't mean that they are automatically trying to deceive you. But each of us, we have to be attentive, pay attention to ourselves, and ask, what draws me to listen to this teaching? Why am I recommending it to a friend? Can I disagree with them? Important questions if we spot these signs of smooth talk. Then he mentions flattery. Flattery. I think flattery can mean using the means of building us up. They build us up, but still for their own selfish gain and purposes. Now, that might just be, you know, complimenting you. It might be kind of making it appear that you are wise or culturally up to date for listening to their ministry. More subtly, it might be telling stories or using examples where you come out as the hero. You always come away from their ministry feeling somewhat superior, more virtuous than those other people who are getting it wrong. Look out for these things. They make you feel good, but yet they're unlikely to call you to repent for sin, to make you feel bad in that sense, to live sacrificially, to live a painfully generous life. They're unlikely to call you to do that. They just want you to feel like you are part of the right tribe. Because that way, you'll buy their material, you'll increase their following, you'll wear their merchandise, and you'll be recommending them to friends. That's what they want from you. So if it feels like they're really out to make you feel good about yourself and not address sin and sacrificial living, question it. It might just be flattery. I think what their ultimate goal is in their smooth talk and in their flattery is making you like them, making you self-serving, not about Jesus, but about serving yourself. So a particular warning to watch out for ministries that talk a lot about health and wealth. Often today, it's described using a fairly general term of blessing, of wanting to bless you. But the focus of their idea of blessing is about God's desire to give you everything now. But is that what Paul's been talking about throughout Romans? Is that God's highest good for you, to give you everything now? Not at all. God's highest good for you is to conform you to the image of his son Jesus. To love the Lord Jesus and to be like him. That is a life of blessing. And Jesus, we know he came not to be served, but to serve. The very one we follow was not about serving himself, but serving others. So if for us, our hope is in material blessings now, our heart will long for those things more than Jesus. So do not let that kind of teaching draw you away from Jesus just to focus in on yourself. And I think this kind of blessing language is actually really popular in modern worship music that we might listen to around the house or on the way to work. So I think it's important that we check our diet of worship music. When they talk about blessing, are they talking about growing in Christ-likeness and holiness and love for God, or in just having what we want now? It might be good musically. It might be hard to let go of some of that music, but is it harmful to your desire to love Jesus? Question it. Question it. So self-serving in the sense of material health and wealth, but also spiritually. You can be self-serving spiritually. You can teach people in a way that builds up their knowledge of Jesus without creating a desire to serve Jesus. And we've only got to think of the Pharisees, who Mark mentioned earlier. They had everything that they wanted to learn about God from the Old Testament, but they made it self-serving. It puffed them up. So much so that when Jesus came, they didn't want to listen to his authority, because listening to him would mean that actually they couldn't get near God with their religiosity. They were going to need to humble themselves and receive his grace, and they didn't like that. Be wary of becoming self-serving with material things, with spiritual things, with these teachers. So let me encourage you to check for the signs. Check the TV and YouTube videos that you watch. Evaluate the podcasts and the music that you listen to. Critique the books and the blogs that you might read. And with fresh eyes and ears, come to your favorite teachers and preachers and personalities and ask of their content, why do I love this message? Why do I love this message? Does it make much of my need for God's grace? If not, maybe there's a red flag. Get these things kind of out the way so that you can grow well. So what are the risks? What are the signs? Also, how can we be ready? How can we be ready when we do come across these things? Well, we see here that Paul kind of gushes over the church in Rome. Verse 19, everyone has heard about your obedience. So they're doing well. They're making good, healthy choices. But yet Paul, he loves them. He cares for them. And so he still gives them some advice. What does he say? He says, I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. Which is kind of similar to when Jesus says, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. There's kind of similarities there. What's he saying? What does that mean for you? I think he's saying, be so familiar with what is healthy that you know when something is off. Be so familiar with what is healthy that you know when something is off. Like people who pick mushrooms, you know, with the untrained eye, you know, it all looks familiar. But to a seasoned forager, just a passing glance, and they will know which ones are healthy and delicious and which ones will be poison. We need to be like that, so familiar. And that's going to take time. It's going to take learning as you go. It's going to involve being humble and patient. You're going to get it wrong. But your discerning taste will develop. So be really familiar with it so that you've just got that sense, that nose, that something is off when someone's trying to deceive you. And also, how else can we be ready? What else is he saying? He's saying, love what is healthy so much that you just wouldn't want anything harmful. Love what is healthy so much that you wouldn't want anything that is harmful. Come to Jesus. This is the invitation. Come to Jesus. Come to him honestly and let him serve you. Let him reveal the depths of his love and grace to you as you bring the worst of yourself to him and as he restores you. Draw near to him. Let him be the place where your heart finds its rest. Bring your desires to him, your failures to him, your worries to him. And just enjoy that he cares for you and that he's steadily repairing you. Because if you live in this gospel of grace where you've been forgiven and loved, any harmful teaching is just not going to match up. It's not going to hold a candle to what Jesus has already given you. Why would you settle for something less when he's given you so much more? Just delight in grace. That's not a bad application. Delight in grace so that you just won't want the harmful things when they come your way. That's how you can be ready for false teaching. Now, Paul throws in a line here, which is a little bit odd, but I just want to mention it because it's there. He concludes with this warning, with this word, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now, he might be meaning one of two things here. Either he means that, you know, he wants to encourage them that one day Satan and all the harmful consequences of sin will be done away with. All the false teachers, they'll be out the way and it'll all be done with. Or he might be speaking more kind of to encourage them in the now, in that they're going to experience God giving them victories over these kind of harmful influences. So maybe it's kind of big picture, he's going to crush Satan ultimately, or it's right now God's going to give you victories. Either way, we know Paul is wanting to encourage them to keep warned of these people and nourished by God's grace. So, Paul has warned them about discerning what is healthy and what is harmful. And now, by including these few verses of greetings next, Paul helps us with another way in which you and I can nourish ourselves with grace. And that's by surrounding ourselves with grace-filled people. So here's the second heading, build your appetite, verses 21 to 23. Look out for grace-filled people. In these verses, Paul names a bunch of his companions who want to pass along their greetings to the church in Rome. And as I was reading these words, a smile kind of crept across my face. I noticed that Paul is living what he is preaching. You know, he said that he longs for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with the churches. Well, not only does he not associate himself with harmful teachers, he surrounds himself with people who just love Jesus and live that out. He just surrounds himself with them. And, is that a surprise to us? No. If you're someone who wants to be healthy, who loves healthy stuff and wants to be more healthy, you surround yourself with people who love healthy stuff and know how to be healthy, don't you? And that's what Paul has done. One of the reasons that we knew that Evelyn was ready to start eating solid foods was that any time that either myself or Caitlin had a bit of food or holding a drink, if you looked at Evelyn, she'd be like, "You're going to give me some of that, aren't you? Yeah, yeah." I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. She had her eyes on what she thought she was going to get a piece of. And I kind of secretly, I loved the idea that the Apostle Paul, when he was, with the guys, that when he sees, God's grace at work, he's just like staring at them, like Evelyn, just kind of longing after it, wanting some more of it himself. As he sees, the kindness of Jesus and the way they serve, just, yeah, I want it. I want it. As they share with him some of the sacrifices that they've made for the gospel and, wearing glad smiles as they tell him, I think he just looks at them like, yeah, I want to be like that. I want more of that in my own life as well. As they talk joyfully about their experiences of God's love in the ups and downs of life, I think he just looks at them and just, more of that. I want that. Share it with me. I want it. I love that picture. I think that's fabulous. And so, don't we also want that ourselves? Don't we want to surround ourselves with people where we're just looking at them and thinking, yeah, I want more of that kind of grace in my life as well? I think that's a healthy place to be. What a wonderful way to nurture our appetite for God's grace. So as I'm going to go through some of these individuals, just four of these individuals that Paul names, and as I do, I want you to be thinking about who are the people that this reminds you of. Where do you see these things in the people that you know, in this church? So let's start first of all with team. Look out for grace-filled people serving on your team. Paul names his co-worker Timothy and some of his associates. Now, Timothy has served with Paul, helping other people know Jesus and grow in their faith. And later, when Paul writes to the Philippians, he says about Timothy, "I have no one else like him who will just show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone else looks out for their own interests, not of that of Christ Jesus. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel." Just a glowing, he's just gushing about his friend who he sees God's grace in. He's served Jesus, he's served Paul. So you here and listening online, if you serve on one of the ministry teams at church, who do you see joyfully serving? Serving in a way that makes you say, why are they so committed? Why are they so generous with their time for people? So patient with those particularly difficult people? Watch those people. Watch that individual and ask God to grow your appetite for that same kind of grace. Because what you'll be doing is you'll be watching somebody who has known the commitment of Christ to them. You'll be watching somebody who has known the patience of Christ with their own failings and the generosity of Christ to them. That's why they're doing it. Watch them and get hungry as you watch them. Secondly, so you've got team, and then look out for grace-filled people serving in the background. Now, this one takes a little bit more intentionality because it's not just up front. You've got to stop and think at church, who has made this happen? You see, Paul mentions now Tertius, or Tertius includes his own name, and he's the guy who scribed this letter, which, you know, it's a long letter. That's a long process. I don't know if any of you have ever tried having a parent dictate a text to you and like four paragraphs later, you're still going. It can be a long ordeal. Nervous laughter. You know, sometimes it takes a lot of patience and effort. And this is what Tertius has been doing in the background, helping Paul. And I love that he gets included here. For a moment, he's allowed to be brought into the spotlight so that we can get a glimpse of a guy who has just faithfully served in the background, who would normally not get any recognition. Tertius. So when you stop in church and reflect, you know, all the chairs have been put out, or communion has been prepared, or the kids' group session has been sorted, or the grass has been mown, or the admin has been done for that meeting, ask yourself, why was that person willing to give that time to something that they'll receive no recognition for? Might it be that they've seen the humility of a God who came in obscurity to this earth and died as a nobody on the cross to save them? Might that be why they're serving and glad to serve? Who are those people? Look out for them. Look out for graceful people who serve through hospitality. We read here, Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Hospitality is a natural outworking of a life that's been impacted by grace. Charlie shared last week about this, didn't he? About how we welcome others because we have been welcomed by Jesus. And Paul and the whole church loved meeting at Gaius's home. No doubt because he was generous with his space, generous with his fridge. I guess he didn't have a fridge. Generous with his food. Yeah, they just loved being there because he gave everyone such a welcome. And I reckon Paul would sit there in those meetings in his house and just see Jesus in Gaius. So when you are enjoying hospitality of a fellow believer and you just feel at home, you just feel welcomed in that place, cared for, savor how present Jesus feels to you right then. How it makes known to you just how Jesus welcomes you and cares for you. Because that's how what they've received and that's why they're serving you. Look out for those people. And the fourth one, just lastly, look out for grace-filled people who are serving through their work. We've got our man Erastus here. Erastus, we're told, is the director of public works or city treasurer, depending on your translation. And Erastus wants to publicly encourage the Christians in Rome. But as far as we know, his main place of serving was in his job. Because that's how Paul identifies him here. A man of the gospel associated with his job in the council office. I think that's brilliant. Finish Romans with just the story of a guy who works in the council office. It is nourishing to our faith when we watch a faithful member of our church just being a witness of grace in their place of work for years and years and years. What an example of grace for us. Doing good work with integrity and godliness. Someone who doesn't just clock in and clock out, but who takes the time to care for the individuals and care for the culture of their workplace. Who do you know like that? Who do you know that's just been faithfully being a Christian in their job? Who embodies that kind of grace that doesn't just clock in, clock out, but cares? Well, Paul, he had Erastus for that. Let your person be an encouragement to you, to long after that, to hunger, to have your appetite grow, so that you yourself would be somebody who works to the glory of God and enjoys his grace. So Paul had Erastus, he had these other guys. Let me ask you, who are you watching who you want to have that same grace of God in your own life? To know God in the same way and to serve God in the same way. Could you spend more time with them? Could they mentor you? Could you have them come and just be around your family so that your family and your kids benefit from their nourishing grace? As I thought of examples of this week, I became more hungry for God's grace. And I could have shared some stories. I was wondering, do I share some stories of people that I know? But I kind of wanted you to think about those people that this triggers in your own mind. But I do want to finish with one small example from this week. And I hope they don't mind me sharing. I haven't asked them. And there are others that I could mention at Kennet Valley, even from this last week. But let me just share this one. I was using the prayer diary this week to pray. And in the prayer diary, normally a couple of households get asked to share some prayer requests. And the challenge, as one of their prayer requests, asked this. They asked for prayer that we ourselves might strive to lead more Christ-centered lives. And I thought, yes, that is exactly what the passage is about. More Christ-centered lives. That's their prayer. But I saw them live that out this week as Graham offered to lead Maureen King's funeral whilst Graham Cook was on holiday. He served Maureen's family and those of us who are watching with nourishing, Christ-exalting grace and hope. In his words and in his willingness to serve, I was moved to want more of Jesus, to live out that grace in my life in the same way. So I don't know if you're here or if you're watched on telly. Thank you, Graham and Rosemary. Thank you. It expanded my appetite. Who's it going to be for you? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are the Father who knows how to give good gifts to your children. We thank you that your heart is even more passionate than Paul's, that we would experience and know deep grace through the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And so I pray for us now, give us discerning hearts. Help us take our spiritual health really seriously, to love your grace and do away with what is harmful before it pulls us away from you. And Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you for lives that tell of your grace. Lord, let them make us more hungry for you. Father, now, with open hands, we pray, fill us with your Spirit, that we might overflow as well with your grace. Amen.